Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So good to have you in church today. So good to have you in church and look at everybody leave. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching to you today out of the book of Acts, chapter 13. You'd like to turn to that. Amen. I got just a couple of announcements. Next week we're having the meet and greet service at 12:30. It's immediately after this second service. We have just a lot of new faces and people, and we feel a little, it's good to see the Jaspers. Great to have you guys home. Feel a little disjointed because of the two services, and there's just people that you haven't seen in a long time. So if you've been here for a year or less, we'd like for you to stay. The board and Treva and I would just like to meet you and let you get acquainted with the leadership of the church and just to welcome you here. Treva announced that the 12th is a women's meeting. On the 13th, September 13th is the day that we're going to plan the picnic. So we'll have one service. It'll be at 9 o'clock. It'll be outside, and then we'll feed you afterwards. We'll feed you whatever you bring, in other words. we will grill out some hamburgers and hot dogs and things. So, amen. Isn't the presence of God mighty today? Whew. Boy, I was just like this in the first service, too. I'm so thankful for His presence. I don't want to have church without Him. Amen. We have a great deal of Thomases here today, and we're so glad to have all the Thomases. It's just an honor to have you guys. Danny, Ronnie, Brian, and your mom and dad was here the first service, so just good to have them, ministers of the gospel. Amen. I want to talk to you today about overcoming opposition. Overcoming opposition. I pray that you receive this in the manner that God wants you to. We're not walking where we should be walking. And God wants to correct that. In chapter 13 of the book of Acts, verse 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.' Then having fasted and prayed, they lay hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues to the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island to Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at them and said, 'O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?'" Could he have said that any straighter, do you think? Can you imagine laying someone out like that? Verse 11, "Now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that I know that your word is anointed. I know, Lord, that you watch over your word to perform it. So, Father, we don't pray for your word. We pray for our ears. I pray today that every person in this place, their ears would be open to what the Spirit of God is saying specifically to them. I believe, Lord, you have a word for each and every individual in this place. So may we hear your word with clarity. May it find the good ground of our heart so we're not just entertained intellectually. We're not just informed, but Lord, we are changed to the image of Christ like never before, Father, because your word changes us. It transforms us into your image. So God, I pray, let the Spirit of God speak with clarity and boldness, Father, today, and may we be hearers of the gospel. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the givers in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would bless their tithes and their offering. God, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for them. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They're meeting in Antioch. Antioch is an important city. Something very important happened at Antioch. You know what happened? Their name was changed. No longer were they called the Way, but at Antioch, they begin to be known as Christians. Why is that important? Because we are Christ-like. We are Christ-like. It was at Antioch that the name changed from being the Way to now they are the church, Christ-like. It's a great thing. At this church, the Bible says they ministered to the Lord. Do you know what that means? You just got done doing that. You are ministering to the Lord as you worshiped him. That ministers to Jesus. It brings him back the praise that he deserves. But it also says they were praying and they were fasting, and a word from the Spirit of God broke in the service, and it was a very prophetic word. It says, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry. So what is going on? They're having church. That's church, guys. That's what happens in church. As people begin to pray and worship, and as we're fasting, the Spirit of God will move. The Spirit of God wants to speak to us. He wants to break into the service with a prophetic word of clarity. Did you get this? Separate these two guys for me. I want you to send them out because I've got a work that they need to be doing. What does the church do? They laid hands on them. They prayed for them. They sent them out. The next few verses, something we see happen. And John Mark was with them. Did the Holy Spirit said, separate Barnabas and Saul and send John Mark alongside of them? No. He said, Barnabas and Saul. But what happened? It seemed like a good idea that we'd send John Mark, and it almost killed him. John Mark winds up deserting. He could have died spiritually because he was not ready to be on the road. They laid hands on him. They ordained him because he showed promise. But he wasn't ready. If he had been ready, the Holy Ghost would have said, and send John Mark too. Now later, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through Barnabas, we see John Mark coming alongside and rising up later on. Paul wanted nothing to do with him. But Barnabas spent time discipling him. He writes the Gospel of Mark. I thank God for John Mark, who was basically Peter's witness. But I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you how many people have good ideas for the church. Hey, pastor, think about this. Maybe we ought to do this. Pastor, maybe we ought to do this. You know what? I appreciate your great idea. But I'm not looking for good ideas. I'm looking for the voice of the Holy Ghost to say, separate these people. Do this. Specific instructions. Pastor, you need to do this. When we hear the voice of God, God fulfills his voice. I've often said, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. But when you step out to do something on your own, it's yours, baby. What we do so much of the time is we make a decision and then we say, God bless this. And God said, I didn't call you to do it. Why should I bless it? Boy, there's a lot of Christians that would never have gotten into trouble if they just wait for the voice of God to separate them. That's good preaching. It says they sailed out to Cyprus, which is an island. It's a little confusing, so I have a map up there. They left Antioch. Can we show that map? Okay, they left Antioch, and they go to Cyprus. And the first city, because it just shows these names, the island was Cyprus, the city was Salamis. Salamis was like a port city. It was a very commercial place where a lot of people worked. There was obviously a lot of Jews there, because Saul and Barnabas goes to the synagogue, then they preach the gospel to the Jews in the synagogue. But they didn't stay there. They go on later to Patmos. And Patmos, as you can see, it's a beach. It's a city. It's actually the capital city, but it wasn't as big as the first one. But it's a capital city. It's got great beaches. It's actually a very wicked place. They worship the goddess Venus, who is the goddess of love. So it might be, in our minds, we could maybe compare it to like Miami, a place of wickedness, a place that has a great nightlife, right? Well, not, shouldn't call it great, a nightlife that any sinner would enjoy, should I say that? So, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. They were just as wicked in that day as they are today. And so that's what was going on. But something is neat here. The proconsul, who we would probably call the governor, is Sergius Paulus. And the Bible says he's an intelligent man. Now, you don't read that a whole lot in the scripture, where the Bible comments and says he's an intelligent man. And I just sometimes wonder, what makes him such an intelligent man? And I believe this. He was a man that was seeking truth. He was looking to God. He wanted to know the truth of the gospel. Paul and Barnabas did not go to him. He sought them out. He said, come and give me the gospel. But there was a sorcerer there by the name of Elymas, and the Bible says he withstood them, withstood the preaching of the gospel. That word withstood in the Greek is anahistami, which is the word that we get antihistamine from, the drug that we take to help our sinuses and stuff, to keep the histamine from our body. It's an antihistamine. It means he's withholding or opposing the work of the gospel of Christ. He was not opposing Paul and Barnabas. He was opposing the work of the gospel. It's really important, because you need to understand, Satan is not opposing you. He's opposing what's in you. He does not want Christians to wake up and understand how powerful they are in the Spirit of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ scares the devil. It scares the enemy. And when it starts coming out of your mouth, you know, there's a lot of Christians that would say, well, I just don't think the devil's that bad. You know, he doesn't bother me that much. And I would say to you, if the devil is not bothering you, it's because you're not doing anything. You get off your tail and begin to do something for God, and I promise you, you'll recognize an enemy really quick. But too many Christians are silent. Therefore, Satan doesn't have to oppose you. He's got you whipped. You're sitting in a church pew. You think that scares God? You think it, or the devil, you think it bothers the devil that you're in church today? Nah. He doesn't care about that one iota as long as you leave the same way you came. As long as you come with your mouth shut and leave with your mouth shut, he's okay. Get all the knowledge you want. He's fine with that. It just puffs you up. But when you hear the gospel enough to be changed into the image of Christ, and when you realize that the Word of God is still the same today as it's always been, it still is powerful, and when you start exercising the Word of God, then your enemy will come against you. It says, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, he looked intently at him and he said, you son of the devil, an enemy of all that is righteous, full of all the deceit and trickery, and you will not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you'll be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. I want to tell you the greatest fear that blind people have is that one day they'll wake up in total darkness. Scared to death of being in total darkness. Most blind people see shadows. They can see somewhat. They're legally blind, but they can still see a little bit, and that gets them through life. But they are scared to death of what happened to this man, that they will not be able to see the light of the sun. That means total darkness. You know, I think I've always thought that total darkness must have come upon him. I'm wondering now if the darkness just didn't come out of him. Not come upon him, but come out of him. Lord, just close his eyes. As Paul spoke these words, judgment came upon him, and the proconsul says the proconsul believed. He all of a sudden, he saw the power of God. Remember, Paul said, I don't come to you with enticing words, but I come to you with the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's some things that I believe in this story that we can relate to our life and we can walk in. Number one, we still have an opposing enemy, a call to go forth and a battle to fight. We still have an opposing enemy, a call to go forth and a battle to fight. In Matthew chapter 28, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to recognize one thing really important. He doesn't say, go get them saved. Go get people saved. He doesn't say that. He says, go and make disciples. You understand that making a disciple is a lot more detailed than just getting them saved. Making disciples means you're going to have to spend some time with these babies in Christ, and you're going to have to pour into them. You're going to have to train them and teach them the ways of God. Too many churches have got them saved and then left them to starve. They don't last long. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That word, be sober, he's not talking about don't be drunk. He's saying be serious. I find a lot of Christians today are not very serious-minded. See, we're going through life like all is well. Why? Because all is well with you, maybe. We're not worried that there's a world out here that's damned and going to hell. We're not worried that there are people who are depressed and people are on drugs, people's lives are a mess. We're not worried because we're okay. And he says, be sober. Be vigilant. In other words, get on your game, folks. It's time for the church to wake up. Because your adversary, you have an enemy of your soul. He is fighting you. He says he walks about. He has freedom to walk about, but he's not allowed in the house. Do I hear amen? He's not allowed here. Why? Because we have authority over him. But guess what? He shouldn't be allowed in your house either. He shouldn't be allowed in your body. He shouldn't be allowed in your children. Take authority over him. It's time we tell him to get out. He says he walks about like, that's an important word, like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. He's like one. In other words, his roar is worse than the bite. He is Satan, the great intimidator. What's he after? What does he want? Why is he bugging us so badly? He wants your words. He wants you to speak damnation and defeat over yourself. You see, when we understand that the Word of God is alive, it's active, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and just the way it come out of Jesus' mouth, when it comes out of your mouth, it will still be effective. So Satan is after your words. If I can just get them speaking defeat to themselves. He's doing a pretty good job. We all the time listen to yourself talk sometime. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're going to read some more, but we got to stop right there. He does not say, be intellectually strong. He does not say, educate yourself. You see, you do need to educate yourself. You need to become familiar with God. You need to educate yourself in the Word of God. Be strong, not in you, but in the power of God. In the dunamis of His might. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word is schemes. The schemes of the devil. You know, in the model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, He said, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Forever, I never prayed that. And finally, the Spirit of the Lord woke me up one day and said, you need to be praying this over you and over your sons. God, let us see the plan that the enemy already has set for me. I'm a man that, I know this will surprise you, but I'm a man that used to have quite a temper. And if I lost my temper, I was defeated for weeks because I couldn't get over. I'm a child of God and I'm blowing it with my mouth. God, help take this temper away from me. God, temper me down. And then I realize it's just a trick of the enemy. He knows what gets you defeated. You know, most Christians have a besetting sin. You have a sin that Satan uses over and over and over. And it's so easy for him. We make it so easy. He just says, oh, I just got to throw this up there and they'll be down for the count. Here, look at this. Oh, God. And we're down. We're out. So maybe we ought to understand that our enemy is setting traps for us. He says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, sometimes it looks like it. Sometimes it looks like the enemy's flesh and blood. Even someone yesterday said that somebody at work at the prayer service last night, somebody at work was cussing her because she was pushing to do better. Her boss was on her. You need to make your quota. You need to do better. And she was pushing her line to work. And one of the ladies was coming against her and just cussing at her, really, really fighting with her. And I remember saying, don't think it's her. It's the spirit of the devil behind her. See, you could get in a word battle with her, or you can pray in the spirit against that spirit. I promise you it'll be more effective if we would just understand, you're not my problem. You're just a pawn. You're just a tool that the enemy may be using. So I don't come against you. I come against what's motivating you. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the same word and histamine, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's time to gear up. It's time to armor up. I believe with all my heart, the coronavirus is just play practice. The Lord did not send it, but the Lord is using it. He's using it to get you ready for what's coming next. Most Christians are praying, come Jesus quickly. Come get us out of here. Oh God, come on rapture. And in my spirit, I would say the rapture could happen any day, but I don't think it's going to. In my spirit, I say, no, there's battles still to be won. There's still a lot of people that need to know Jesus that He still loves and cares for. And He's going to leave us here, I believe, a little while longer, and it's going to get tough. I hope you learned what you need to learn from the coronavirus, because you're going to need to stand in that wisdom. The wisdom of God that says, I will fear nothing. I refuse to be afraid. of what Satan will bring to me because he's a roaring lion. He has no power over me. Number two is we still have the authority of God to stand against the enemy just like Paul. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample of serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the book of heaven." Written in heaven. There's a difference in power and authority. Many times the Bible interchanges those two words. Power is dunamis. We get the word dynamite. This is a different word. Authority is what a policeman has, what the military has. Could be a 135-pound guy that stands out in the middle of a road, puts his hand up, and the biggest vehicle is going to stop. You know why? Because he has authority. Because the state of Tennessee is behind him. The military is behind him. He has been authorized to do his job. I've got news for you. You have been authorized to do your job. You've been authorized from heaven. See, the trouble with Christians is they think they're some weak, mealy-mouthed person. We don't understand the power of God that's in us. 2 Corinthians 4:7, you have a treasure in this earthen vessel that the power of God, the excellency is of him, not of you. It's not about you, it's about what's in you. We're powerful in God. We're mighty. There's nothing that can stand in front of us, but we've been sleeping too long. I promised myself I would not slap on that pulpit. Shame on you, preacher. He says, "I give you this authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy." Then listen to what he says, "But don't rejoice in that. That's not a big deal." He's not taking his words back. He's just saying, yeah, that's a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, there's not an enemy out there that you can't tread upon. Isn't that powerful? But here's what you need to rejoice in, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you are a new creature in Christ. He dwells within you. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Oh, if we could just see it. If we could just understand how mighty you are, how powerful you are. Not how powerful you feel, but how powerful you are. If you would just get a word from the Holy Ghost and stand on that word, God will change your world. You know the problem? We're too used to running from our problems. We have a problem, we tuck tail and get out of Dodge. You know what, Christian? Shame on us. We ought to stand. That's what the scripture said. Just stand there. Stand and see the salvation of your God. There's a story I told this morning about Smith Wigglesworth, who is one of my heroes of the faith. He was going to catch a train one day. He was in the train station, and this lady steps out of her apartment, and this little puppy dog comes running out. And she said, "Honey, get back in the house. Come on now." And the dog just sort of squatted down, was wagging the tail, and thought he was going to play. And she said a couple of times to him, "Now, honey, baby, come on in the house." And all of a sudden, the train pulls into the station. It's time to make a decision. The lady stomped her foot and she said, "I said get in the house." And that dog tucked his tail and ran in the house. Smith Wigglesworth said, "Now that's the way you talk to the devil." I tell you, when Christians start learning to talk to the devil, instead of letting him talk to you all the time, you need to give him a message. Tell him to go back to hell where he came from. He doesn't have any power over you, but we allow him to. Number three, we can still expect victory. Revelation 12:11, this verse sort of blows my mind. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, they were martyrs for Jesus Christ. He said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. If I had been writing the book, I would have put a period. He didn't put a period. See, the Holy Ghost said, no, there's more to this. See, I'd say, no, don't you add anything to the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. But that's not what the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said, and the word of your testimony. You got skin in the game, my brother.
Right.
See, we're not defeated by the blood of the Lamb, but we are defeated by the word of our testimony many times. Are you getting this? Change your talk, you'll change your battle. That's good. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, he says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Can we just stop there for a second? Is there anybody born of God in this place? Come on. The rest of you are going to get saved today, I hope. Anybody born of God in this place? Do you realize Jesus did not call you to defeat? Say, well, Pastor, you just don't know how tough it's been. Wipe the snot and get back up. Come on. You need to realize who you are. Whatever is born of God, whatever has said the prayer, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart, overcomes the world. Oh, if we could get this in our heart. Because we're not living like overcomers. You know, church most of the time is like a place where we just revive people. Come on, give them CPR. Pump that chest. Breathe into the mouth. Oh, come on back alive. Come on back alive, saint of God. You really think that's what he's got? You think that's the best he could do for us? You think it's God's will that you live that close to death? He who is ever born of God overcomes the world. That's the word of God. Now you can either take your experience or you can take the word of God. I don't care what you feel like. I care what the word says. The word calls us overcomers. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Oh, then there's the problem. There's the problem. Our faith is wrong. You've got your faith in your bank account. You've got your faith in the doctor's word, not in God's word. I'm not moved by what I see. Oh, what if you stood up and told the coronavirus that? I'm not moved by you. You're not scaring me. I don't care if they say every person in America, and they may come out next week with this, every person in America has it. Don't believe that garbage as you're seeing on news. It's all lies. The coronavirus is real, but all their numbers are lies. I tell you, the enemy has got the power of the TV. He who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're an overcomer. Do you believe? Folks, come on now. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is still Lord? Do you believe He's still in the game? Do you believe that He still empowers the believer? Absolutely. Do you believe that I can base my life on this book? Every word of it is true. Doesn't matter how I feel. I don't care how I feel. I care what the book says. My feelings need to change, not my mind. My mind is set on Him. He says in Colossians that I am seated with Him. Woo! Can you get that? I'm seated with the authority of the world. We are underestimating the power of God that's in us. when we recognize the authority that we have in Him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, every one of you in this room, I'm sure, knows this, but let the Spirit of God just bring this to you. What then shall we say to these things? What shall you say to your problem? What are you going to say to the battle that's raging within you? Listen to that. If God is for me, I don't care what's opposing you. It could be your finances. It could be drug addiction. It could be all kinds of just a garbage in your mind of what you came out of. I don't care. You need to say, if God is for me, and I promise you He is, who can be against us? Devil, you hear that? God is for me. You don't have a chance. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You know what that tells me? God gave us His best. He's not going to withhold a dime now. God started with His best. Do you think He's going to say, well, I've already given Him enough? No, sir. He's going to give you what you need when you need it. What's your problem? Your problem is to stand. You just got to stand and see the salvation of God. Stand and believe. When the doctor says this, you say, I don't think so. I want to stand on the Word of God and proclaim His touch. Told you this last week, I believe, when we got the call about the baby. It's going to have surgery. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, stand still and see the salvation of God. I knew God was coming through. I knew God was going to come through. Got a call a few hours later. Surgery's not needed. The baby's fine. I believe with all my heart, if people hadn't prayed, that baby would have had surgery. This last point, remember, as I wrote this sermon, I thought I was done with 3 points. Come back to church the next day, and the Lord says, you forgot the last point. I said, well, what is it? He said, the battle's not over until Jesus says it's over. The battle's not over until Jesus says it's over. The old song, we've only just begun. Yeah. Guys, there's still a battle to be fought. There's still victories to be won. And here's the verse the Lord gave me in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. And I heard the Spirit of God say, you tell the church to get up. Get up. Then he said this, America needs Christians to get back up. It's not over. I don't believe the rapture is going to get us out of here. I believe worse things are coming. And I believe this world is looking for what you have in you. What's within us is the one that's going to save society. So the Spirit of God would say, get up! You hear Him? Get up! Yes, I know you've fallen. Yes, I know you've been defeated. Yes, I know you have this sin that's in your life. But I'm telling you, get back up! It's time to fight. It's not time to run. We need to take control over what's happening in our world. You don't have control. You don't have authority over all the world, but you have authority. Are you getting me? Are you understanding this? You have some God-given authority. Now let's start using it. See, when we pull this thing together and we all start walking in the authority that we have, we will be a great and mighty army of God. But we've been asleep. We've just been happy getting a goosebump every once in a while. Well, let me tell you, the kingdom of God is not about goosebumps. It's not about shaking. That's fun every once in a while. It's about how you stand in the world. It's about the testimony you bring to work. Are you for me or are you against me? If you're for me, shut your mouth. Quit talking that stupid defeat. God didn't call you to defeat. God called you to victory. Now, I think some of you just need to shut up. And then some of you need to speak up. The ones that's been speaking up is the ones that need to shut up. The ones that have been shut up need to speak up, probably. The Word of God says that you are His ambassador. How are you representing Him? When people look at your life, do they say, I want what they've got? Or do they run like their hair's on fire? People ought to look at you and say, I want the Jesus that's in you. I see the real goods. Church, hear me today. The Spirit of God is saying, get up. Yeah, I know you've fallen. It's time to get up. It's time to stand up. We got a battle to win. Christians, I believe this. We need to look to Washington and call those unrighteous things out of office in the name of Jesus. Take authority over that. God, I pray right now that you would expose the unrighteousness that's been hidden by Satan for so many years. Expose them and expel them in the name of Jesus. I believe God is wanting to do a washing in Washington. And it's going to be, by and large, are we willing to take authority? I'm not talking about voting. I'm talking about voting in your prayer. Do we need to vote? Absolutely. But we need to vote in prayer first. We need to start calling those things out. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Opposing opposition. Every one of us have problems. Every one of us have problems. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God tells us to run from our problems. I see where He tells us to stand. Stand. It's time to get up. It's time to let the Lord speak up. It's time to see the salvation of God. It's time to see a revival. God wants to do something. Not just in America, but worldwide. God wants to do something. Are you willing to be counted as a soldier for the kingdom? Buddy, count me in. Count me in. Father God, I come before you right now and I pray, Lord, for every person that's in this church. I pray for everyone that got online today, Lord, to watch us online. I pray that the Spirit of God has used my voice to take the truth of the gospel, the truth that He wants to speak to the church. Lord, let them not see a man, but let them hear truth, Lord. Today, let it bury, Lord, in the ground of their heart. Let their ears be open to what the Spirit of God is saying, specifically not to the church, but to them, Father. God, you have a word of wisdom for each and every one of us. I pray, God, that we would hear the counsel of the Holy Ghost today with the inspiration, Lord, that He brings. God, help us to get up, be fired up, pray up, and then speak up. Father God, use us in this end time. God, let us, help us not to be people of anxiety, people of worry, but help us to be people of faith, people that know our God. Lord, Daniel said, those that know their God will do exploits. God, help your people to know you personally. Help them to be seated in the high place. Help them to know the secret place of the Almighty so they can dwell in that secret place and receive their strength and power through the Holy Ghost. May your Spirit revive us, each and every one, in the name of Christ. If there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, we want to give you opportunity to receive Christ. With just an uplifted hand, we'd like to pray for you. Is anyone here that says, I need to know, I need to surrender my heart to God? And I believe everybody in this place is a child of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7. You have this treasure in your earthen vessel. Folks, do you get it? Do you get it? You have something so powerful, so mighty within you. Now it's time to let it out. Let it out. Let the Spirit of God take control of your mouth and your life. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the message of hope that you have brought to this church. May we walk in it and be victorious. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Raise your hand, receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you. Have a great day.